My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Belinda Farrell has overcome major life challenges, the death of her son, complete financial loss, and a degenerated spine. But all was not lost. By using ancient Hawaiian techniques and accepting responsibility for every aspect of her life, she was able to rise from the ashes, find her friggin' joy, and she shares this invaluable information with others in her best-selling book, Find Your Friggin' Joy. As a certified master hypnotherapist, NLP master practitioner, HUNA practitioner, and reconnective healing practitioner, Belinda is effective at getting results and enhancing performance for her clients. She's been an elementary school teacher, a TV news reporter, a Senate staffer, a TV and movie actress, a professional stunt car driver for commercials and films, and has firewalked with Anthony Robbins 18 times. As a mom and grandmom, she loves to work out, rollerblade, snow ski, and live a healthy life, having as much fun as possible. She's found her friggin' joy and shares with others how to achieve this in her book, Find Your Friggin' Joy, Discover Missing Links from Ancient Hawaiian Teachings to Clean the Plaque of Your Soul and Reach Your Higher Self. Please welcome Belinda Farrell. Good evening, Belinda.
Good evening. Wow. It's wonderful to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. And I'm exhausted just describing everything that you do in your life.
I'm just wondering, when did I find time to do all of that? How did it get to be here?
I was going to say, what do you do on Tuesdays? You know, just... So with what we just shared, you had some truly devastating events in your life. Now, many people would have thrown in the towel, gone into depression, and perhaps given up. What motivated you to make the change in your life?
That's a really good question. I've always been someone who kind of finds a solution. You know, even when I was a young girl, you know, if there was some kind of problem, I would just kind of look for a solution. I'm very, I guess, solution oriented. But when you have such devastating things happen to you, you know, like the loss of a child and all of your money, it's all of the things that that I had studied, I had to put it together because I still had a daughter and a grandson, and I needed to be well for them. I didn't want to be a burden to them. So I felt like it was my obligation to take responsibility for my health and not let myself get down. And I realized that, you know, our beliefs and our thoughts conduct everything about our bodies and everything about how we live our lives. So I had to make sure that I had some good positive thoughts, even in the face of devastation.
Now, you had mentioned financial disaster. What happened that you resulted in losing your money?
I had invested in a Ponzi scheme, which I didn't know was a Ponzi scheme. I thought it was just a great investment for all these spiritual people that were around me and, you know, a chance to relax a little bit and earn some, you know, a big percentage on our return. And it was great for about a year, and then the checks stopped coming, and then we realized that it was a scheme, and it was right at the time that my son had passed, so I couldn't even live in the house I was living in anymore. I had to sell everything and go live with my daughter and take care of my grandson to pay the rent.
A lot of people in your shoes would have gotten very, very angry and hateful. What about you?
Yeah, I was angry, but not hateful because I invested in it. Nobody pulled my arm. I did it. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't turn out to be the way it was supposed to be, but I had to clearly take responsibility for having done it. I felt like an idiot, I guess.
Many wealthy and famous people have been taken in by something similar. We're
right,
all familiar with the Bernie Madoff scandal of a few years back, and so there's nothing to be ashamed of in that.
Right.
Now, you also were experiencing degenerative spine disease. Now, without health insurance, you made a decision to take ownership of your own healing. What was that process like?
Well, again, that was a few years before, and when I was doing a lot of stunt driving, and I was just really living on the edge and being an adrenaline junkie and not listening to my body. And you have to listen to your body when it starts to be painful. That means that there's something going on that you need to pay attention to. And I would just kind of keep pushing through and maybe going to the gym or doing some exercises. And my body just needed to rest. And then finally, it just wouldn't support me anymore. And I collapsed. My son picked me up, put me to bed. I couldn't stand, sit, walk, couldn't do anything. It was such pain. And MRI showed that I had degenerative bone disease and spinal disease and herniated disc. I was a mess. And they said I wouldn't walk again unless I had surgery. And you're right, I had no insurance because I wasn't working. And when you're working for the Screen Actors Guild, when you stop working, they stop the insurance. So I had been learning the HUNA for about 3 years and learning how you could heal yourself and reach your higher self, and how the higher self could, if you reached it through the unconscious mind, through letting go of some of the past memories, the negative stuff, then the higher self would come in and change your body, your physical body.
How did these different healing modalities come into your life? Where did you learn them?
Well, Tony was the first one, Tony Robbins. After my divorce, I hadn't done any kind of healing work at all. I was married to a doctor, and you know, all I was being was a doctor's wife. And I had been, it's true that I had done some teaching, and also the CIA had recruited me. That was even before that.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that I didn't put down. They're the ones responsible for everything. They sent me to Washington. I was interrogated there, and I thought I was going to become a spy in Spain because I could speak Spanish.
Mm.
And so I'd been recruited after my college at Berkeley. And then, you know, after a battery of tests and things, I realized this is not a match made in heaven. It was not, but it got me to Washington. And then after that, I started looking for a job, and I landed a job with a senator of Illinois and worked with him for a year, and that's where I met my husband. And after that, we were going to Los Angeles, and I was just mainly, you know, concerned with teaching, and we went to Puerto Rico. I raised children. The healing didn't come until after the divorce. And then Tony Robbins just changed my life. I mean, he's just a dynamic motivator. And when you walk on fire, you think, how can I do this? You know, it's 2,000 degrees of hot cold. Your brain just says, this is impossible. But then when you can do it and do it successfully, you think, well, how else can I break through the barriers? What else am I not doing that I can do? And so what came up for me was that I always wanted to drive a race car. And so Tony teaches you the mantra, if I can't, I must. And if I must, I will. So if I say, I can't drive a race car, and then I say, I must find a way. And I called a racetrack that was in our area and signed up for the Grand Prix road racing course. And it was phenomenal. And I had talent. And at the end of that course, I was hired to drive for Buick and Cadillac. Are you there?
Yes. And how fast were you driving in those cars?
Oh, gosh. Well, it was a road race course, so you couldn't drive too fast because you had to make very sharp turns. So I guess in those days, it was just about 120. But, you know, you were consistent. And I was racing Formula Fords, And then eventually I went into doing regular stunt driving and joined a team. And then we started doing jobs all over the country.
And where did the acting come in?
I had always been an actress. I've always loved it. And so I did plays and I was doing modeling work. And the modeling turned into an agency in San Francisco that hired me to do commercials. And then I started getting commercials, and that's how, you know, joined Screen Actors Guild. And then the stunt driving kind of was an arm of that, because that was all film work too. And, you know, did a few little movies, and it was exciting time. It was about 20 years of exciting time, which has led to me being a lifetime member of Screen Actors Guild.
So getting back to your experience with Tony Robbins, how did that lead you into the healing modalities?
Well, Tony is just a real motivator. And I think I was scared of everything when I was him. And doing the stunt driving, you know, helped me to just really get into a car and control it where everybody else had controlled me all their life. And to break out of fear. And he just helps you with the firewalk, because it's a metaphor for breaking out of fear. If you can do that, you can do most anything. Except Tony, in the 5 years I was with him, that I was afraid of water. Had a huge fear of water, ocean. I would never go into pools, swimming pools, any of that. And then when I started studying hypnosis, I was sent to Hawaii for the master course there. And here I am, an island surrounded by water. And so I had to kind of start to face that fear as well.
And we're going to pick up on facing your fears in the next segment. My guest tonight, Belinda Farrell, she's the author of Find Your Friggin' Joy, Discover Missing Links from Ancient Hawaiian Teachings to Clean the Plaque of Your Soul and Reach Your Higher Self. And we'll be back after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Belinda Farrell, she's the author of Find Your Friggin' Joy, Discover Missing Links from Ancient Hawaiian Teachings to Clean the Plaque of Your Soul and Reach Your Higher Self. Belinda, before the break, you were talking about having this fear of water, and you went to Hawaii to enhance your learning of the healing techniques, and what happened?
Well, I'd look at the water and knew that I was not going to put my toe in it even. But during a session that we were having of breathing, the ha breath, and that's in the book. All of this is outlined in the book on how to reach the higher self. And I was doing this heavy ha breathing, And I felt some entrance come into me, like light or whatever, you know, the form was. But in the form of light, there was also these dolphins and whales coming in. And it was like these seas had parted and all these dolphins and whales were coming in on this bed of light. And I was just astonished because I've never had any sea creatures in my agenda. You know, they weren't on my radar. And then as that happened that night, my dreams were just invaded with dolphins teaching me how to swim. And so I'd wake up in the morning and I'd have this urgency to go out and to meet them. But yet I was looking at the water and thought, huh, I guess I have to conquer this and get out there and see them because they're calling me. So I found someone to take me out, and it was quite, you know, it was quite scary for me. And then eventually I did it. I overcame it, and the dolphins came, and they were downloading information into me. I just was totally transformed by them, by their sonar. And then it got to be that I was swimming like them. And then finally I was taking people out to meet them and to greet them. And I've been doing this now for 25 years.
That's wonderful. Who are dolphins? Who are the dolphins? What is their secret?
I think they're high sentient beings. They have a brain power that is much more advanced than ours, because they can give you a message. They can read your thoughts and give you a message holographically. So you receive it on so many different levels. And they're such high beings that they communicate, you know, in cooperation. They're much more cooperative than humans. And when you're with them, everything melts away. Everything that is of a negative nature, and all you're left is with unconditional love. So they're like my drug. I have to be with them every year. I take people to swim with them in Hawaii. And now I do just a one-on-one or one-on-two. I used to take big groups, but now I just do the one-on-one for a week, Sunday to Saturday. And the house that I have rented is right on the tip of the bay where the dolphins come in, so we have a private entrance. And there are teachers. They're my teacher's higher self connection.
Do you see the same dolphins, or do you know of the same dolphins coming back year after year?
It seems that some do, and there are always new pods coming in. There's always the birthing of new babies, you know, in August. But there are some that seem familiar, and I've really tried to help, you know, with healing, because I will do some healing for them. They don't just heal us. We heal them as well. And it's just an amazing connection that you cannot experience anywhere else other than in the ocean. Here's something that I was so afraid of for my whole life, all my 40 years now, has become the most nurturing part of me, because we are almost, you know, 70% water. And so I think I was just afraid of my emotions. I was afraid of digging deeper into my emotions, ergo the fear of water, getting into that water. And so when I take some people who are afraid of water, it usually is an emotional thing. And once they, you know, conquer that, it's such a freedom.
People talk about dolphins living and working and communing in pods, almost like families and communities, which are, my understanding, are they're in those pods basically for life. Is that correct?
Right.
And in that way, do you feel when you're with them and when you're with a pod that you're part of that pod family?
Oh, yes, you can feel that. It's like they take you in. It's like you disappear into a portal. And yeah, there was one time I remember somebody had watched me, that I was in a pod and I seemed to disappear and they didn't know where I had gone. I don't know where I went either. But it's just, and they just surround you with such love and acceptance. And it's,
almost amazing. Almost like a soul journey.
Right. Totally. And that's why I think with all of this healing modalities, you know, I started out with Tony and then I used hypnotherapy and past life regression. I mean, we're all trying to, you know, heal ourselves and get to that place of, you know, just total love. And the dolphins have helped me more than I can imagine. And then, you know, my reconnective healing takes you to another higher frequency. You're just wanting to reach higher levels. And because our time now, we feel like it's going fast, but I think it's just expanding so that we can receive more data, we can receive more light and information. And this helps us on our journey and to cope with whatever is out there.
Now, all of your work, I believe, ties in to the ancient Hawaiian philosophy. And if I mispronounce this, please correct me. I believe it's Ho'oponopono. Did I say it correctly?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's ho'o, which means to make, ponopono, good, to make right, right.
To make right, right. Explain that, please.
Well, you're making right inside yourself, and you're cleaning the perceptions and the judgments that you've had that pull you down and that can get you angry and upset and feeling guilty or just revengeful, and that takes you far away from the light. So when you clean yourself, when you make right right, you're cleaning the way you're looking at something from your own filter, because you created it. Everything that we see is something of our creation. And so the Hawaiians would meet every night at sunset as a family, and they would clean their thought processes, because to them, the most important thing would be to reach the higher self. That was the whole purpose of their life. And knowing that my higher self healed my back completely, I can say that was a great journey. Because I could never, it was like a miracle having my back completely healed, and even the scoliosis that I was born with reconfigure and change and align inside of me.
Absolutely.
So reaching the higher self, cleaning yourself so that you're always in the present time, so you don't have any misconceptions, moving around that will weigh you down.
I had a personal healing experience when I was much younger, which helps me to identify completely with what you're talking about. I was in Korea in the Air Force in 1975, 1976, and in 1975, I contracted a hepatitis B, and it became very, very virulent. And the doctor, in fact, had come to me and said, do you have a will prepared? And let's contact your next of kin. They sent a telegram to my mother through the Red Cross, which scared the living daylights out of her. They said I was very, very sick. In fact, they said they had only seen one person out of 10 with the level of illness that I had survive. And just in those days, I didn't have, this was 1975, I didn't have a consciousness about visualization meditation. That was before I was involved with that, and or any of the healing techniques. And I said to the doctor, can I have, please, a book of anatomy showing a picture of what a healthy liver looks like? And he said, why? And I said, I don't know. I just want to look at a picture of a healthy liver. And he humored me. He brought me a Gray's Anatomy, and I looked inside, and I saw the picture of the liver, and I studied it. And I put the book down, and then I don't remember the exact sequence of events, but I remember my hands floating over my abdomen, over the area of the liver, and feeling this wonderful warmth and healing and tingling sensation. And the next thing I knew, I fell asleep, and the next thing was 5 o'clock the following morning, and the nurse had come in to draw blood, because they'd wake you up to draw blood, and she was very apologetic. And she drew the blood, and about 2 hours later, she came back. She said, I'm sorry, the lab messed up your blood samples. We have to take another draw. And she drew blood again. An hour later, the doctor came in and said, what did you do? And I said, what do you mean, what did I do? He said, what did you do? And I told him, I studied the liver. I put my hands over my abdomen. I felt this warmth and tingling. And he says, well, I don't know what you did, but last night, your liver enzymes and levels in your blood, you were ready to transition. And this morning, they're normal, and we've never seen that happen before.
Oh, that's amazing. That's wonderful. That's exactly right. That's exactly right, because I did the same with my spine. I hadn't said that. I had a picture of a healthy spine right in front of me, and I just breathed it in and drank it in and just kept giving that image to my unconscious mind.
Absolutely. And you know, at that point, you would think, you know, in your life, obviously, it made a dramatic change. In my life, you would think that that would have put me on the path, but I still had a few years of learning to do before I got back on that healing path in my late 30s. But the point I'm trying to make is your experience and my experience is that within each of us, we have this wonderful healing intelligence. And it's just a question of trusting and using it and connecting to that higher self and giving your body through your soul and your mind the instructions to heal, because that's what I believe the essence of this is.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And that's how the ancient Hawaiians believed that the unconscious mind that runs your body is the key to connecting to your higher self, which will come inside and heal your physical body. And if you can get the unconscious mind to, you know, give up, I guess, all that negative, well, you didn't even have to do that. you just brought it in from the source.
There you
so
go.
So that's great. I have some memories that came up during my healing crisis that were locked into my back, and it's in the book on page 109. And it was just like a near-death experience, I guess. I felt that I had been tossed out like a little embryo, a baby, into the garbage of the universe.
Wow. So, hold that thought, and we'll talk about that when we come back on our next segment. My guest is Belinda Farrell. Her book, Find Your Friggin' Joy. Belinda, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your wonderful work.
Well, I am on Amazon. That's one way, or on my website, www.hunahealing.com. And that has all the information on how to get the book and the CDs. I have Hawaiian chanting CDs there as well.
And we'll be back with Belinda Farrell after these messages from the Om Times Radio Network.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
It's important to buckle up your kids.
I know.
Sometimes car seats can be complicated.
I know.
And if your child's in the wrong seat and you get into a crash,
I know.
It could lead to a serious injury.
I know.
So you're 100% sure you have the right car seat for your child's age and size?
I don't know.
Don't think you know. Know you know. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Make sure you have the right car seat. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Belinda Farrell. She's the author of Find Your Friggin' Joy, Discovering the Missing Links from Ancient Hawaiian Teachings to Clean the Plaque of Your Soul and Reach Your Higher Self. So the plaque of your soul, Belinda, you were talking about the garbage of the universe, this emotional baggage that we carry around. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, we have, you know, the unconscious mind has the job of holding all of our thought forms until we get some learnings from it and can let them go. And it just loves us so much, it will protect us, and it will, you know, we will just try not to open that bag up because we think it's going to be too painful. So we do a lot of things to distract ourselves, you know, alcohol, drugs, shopping, TV, internet, you know, whatever it is, we don't want to get into those deep bags. But when you are vulnerable, when you are open, when, like I was in bed trying to heal, I was doing a lot of this breathing, and I guess one of my bags got open, and this little embryo I could see was just being tossed like a piece of garbage out into the universe, this little child, and dodging all these asteroids and comets and things and going about a million miles an hour. And I was so frightened. And then these hands came, these beautiful healing hands came and scooped up this baby and put the baby in the arms of this very beautiful vision of someone dressed in garments of, you know, blue, azure blue. And I just felt safe, or whatever that was. I was safe. I felt accepted. I felt loved. I thought, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like. I relaxed. And then when I came out of it, I was in a pool of sweat in my bed, and felt like I had died in some way. But I was inquiring then to my mother and called her and asked her, you know, what was it about my birth that you haven't told me? Well, she had finally revealed to me that I had been taken to 3 abortion clinics, and my father had wanted me aborted. And there were 3 attempts at doing it, but she was too far along. And so that embryo, you know, we register everything in. And so that feeling of not being loved or not being wanted got, in, you know, embedded into my DNA and got released at that moment. And so I felt that I was still okay, even though maybe my parents hadn't wanted me, but I was wanted at a deep divinity level. And when you have that, everything is okay. You have Absolutely. To feel worthy to receive love. And it changed. The healing started at that point.
The being that you saw in blue, who do you think that was, or what was that?
It was just an image of some kind of being, because I never did see the face. Hooded being, but it was so comforting to be in their hands. And I don't know where the hands just scooped me up and put me in this being's hands, in their arms.
Absolutely. In your book, you say that this work, in fact, you have a chapter, this work is not for sissies. Obviously, the experience that you went through was a very dramatic, traumatic, but the outcome, beautiful experience. Is that what everyone can expect doing this work?
Well, I think when you finally say, you know, enough is enough, and you want to, you know, find out what's going on and really heal at a deep level, you have to want to take an active role in your healing. This is not for passive people who want to blame everybody else but themselves. And, you know, I took responsibility for the journey that I was on. And I think every level that you get to is the right level to be at. You're moving through all this stuff, the layers and the peels of the onion. And, you know, it's a journey. If you want to do the breathing will help you to uncover some of this stuff that's been buried inside the body. And you're the only one that can go through that.
You refer to this as the plaque of the soul.
Right.
Where did you come up with that?
Well, I go to the dentist a lot, and they always tell me I have plaque on my teeth. And there's, you know, some people have the plaque and they can get rid of it easily, and others have to work at it and get it, you know, etched off. And so I just compared it to what we have on our organs, because the unconscious mind is running your body based on the blueprint it has now. So based on the plaque and the beliefs that you have presently, if there's a lot of anger in your heart, then your heart is going to have some repercussions, maybe some tears in it. Or as soon as you have a thought, the unconscious mind creates a chemical that that goes in there and does exactly what it's told by the conscious mind. So if you're angry, it's going to go in there and bruise the heart muscle. If it's happy, it'll make another kind of chemical. And one of those chemicals is interleukin 2. Have you ever heard of interleukin 2?
Yes, absolutely.
In fact, it's given to cancer patients by the pharmaceutical companies. It's very expensive. I think one round of it is about $40,000. But you make interleukin 2 when you get excited, when you're happy, you know, like going to Disneyland and as a child and, you know, being just so elated. You're making millions of dollars of interleukin 2.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you can say that the positive emotions do the positive things, as
right.
you just mentioned, the making of the interleukin 2. What about negative emotions? What do they do to the body?
Oh, well, again, they lower the healing energy of the body. Any kind of sadness lowers your immune system so that you can not fight off disease as well. So all the negative things, again, help the body to just run down. So the more positive you can be, the more life force that you have, and the healthier you are as a result.
Now, each of us, unless you've reached enlightenment, have a little bit of emotional baggage that comes up periodically. What do you do with that stuff?
I know. What do I do with it? Well, again, if you're conscious, if you can be in the moment, and when it does come up, if you can say some things to yourself that will connect to the higher self, and it's just simple. It's the Ho'oponopono. And that is, I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive you, thank you. And if you can say that, you're, again, you might not even believe it at the time, but you're always making magical statements with your thoughts. You're either saying something to degrade yourself or, you know, you're saying or thinking something. So you might as well consciously say, I love you, I forgive you, thank you. And imagine that you're erasing that thought form to whatever sadness or anger or fear. For instance, I had a friend call me the other day, and he was having some neighbor problems. They were renting a room to somebody. And I said, you know, just put him down below you and offer the forgiveness to yourself about how you're thinking about him. And he did that, and the neighbor got quiet.
Mm.
So it works immediately for all kinds of things. I mean, we can work on our government. We can work on politics. You know, whatever we're thinking at the time, whatever we're projecting out there, we can be part of the solution by just clearing up the thought forms in ourselves.
For the 68% of the Americans listening right now, let's say this together. I love you. I forgive you. What's the rest of it? I love you. I forgive you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, so let's all say that together. 68% of the Americans listening right now. I love you. I forgive you. Thank you. I think that's a wonderful concept, that self-forgiveness actually creates an energy of universal forgiveness and makes a positive change.
Well, it'll put you back into the present time slot. That's what it really does. Because again, projection. We're projecting 24/7. And the thoughts that come into our minds are the ones, you know, if they're going to enhance us or are they going to put us down in the deep doo-doo. So it's up to us to clean and to just clean every day. I mean, we brush our teeth every day, I would assume, take a shower, clean the outside of us. So why wouldn't we clean the inside, clean our thoughts?
So what we're really talking about is taking full ownership of every part of us.
Right. And that's a toughie.
Yeah, I know. Taking ownership, you know, it's funny in my business life, in my business world, I teach the people in my sales team to take ownership of customer satisfaction. We have to start taking ownership of personal satisfaction too.
Right. Oh, that's excellent. But you're an amazing role model.
Nah, just a kid from Brooklyn who had learned a thing or two along the way. That's all.
If they're open to it, you can provide some good therapy work for your workers.
Absolutely. It's something that I actually have started to blend into my professional life over the last few years, as more and more people have asked questions when they find out about the wacky stuff that I do when I'm not on the job, and inquire about it. And some people have benefited from it. Let's start touching a little bit on your path of reconnective healing and reconnection. We've got about a minute before the end of the segment. Briefly, what are reconnective healing and reconnection?
Well, reconnective healing was started by Dr. Eric Pearl. He was a chiropractor, and he was just, you know, having a regular chiropractic practice in Los Angeles. And then he met this gypsy on the beach who told him that his healings would become more intense and involved if he had his reconnection done. He didn't know what that was. She referred him to the Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch, which is a book that is quite involved in its metaphysical approach, but it talked about gaining more connection to an axiatonal system in the universe once you get this reconnection done, that you'll be elevated to a higher level and put on your soul path. And he and finally relinquished, paid the $333, which, you know, that was the requirement and still is. It's only done once in a lifetime. And he had it done, and when he came back to his practice, without even touching his clients, they seemed to just heal from all these amazing sicknesses.
You know? We're going to follow up more on that thought with my wonderful guest, Belinda Farrell, author of Find Your Friggin' Joy, after these words from the OM Times Radio Network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I did the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening is Belinda Farrell. She's the author of Find Your Friggin' Joy. And before the break, you started talking a little bit about the history of reconnective healing. Go ahead and talk about that doctor and what he discovered, that chiropractor, and what he found when he came back from that session.
Right. Well, he had had his reconnection done. And that was a two-day process where these drawings are traced on your acupuncture points, and it takes you back to an axiatonal system in the universe, and it seems to accelerate you onto your soul path. But for Dr. Pearl, he came back and his clients were healing without him even touching them, and they were also channeling certain messages that he has this in his book called The Reconnection. Anyway, after I had lost all my money and I was a little bit down, you can imagine, and I had a friend who dragged me to see a movie called The Living Matrix that featured Dr. Pearl, Dr. Bruce Lipton as well. I didn't want to go to anything with healing. I was just really, I was depressed. But I did go with her. And I saw him do three very short sessions with a little boy that had cerebral palsy. He was from Greece. And the doctors had given up on him. But he was just confined to this wheelchair. And Dr. Pearl did the reconnective healing, which is expanding the frequencies of your higher self around you. This little boy was now playing in the playground and holding a cup for the first time.
Wonderful.
And that got my attention. I was like, I want to learn how to do that. And so I found somebody in my area in Santa Cruz, California, and she did a session on me. She didn't know a thing about me. She didn't know what had happened to me. And after that half an hour session, my grief was lifted. I had no more of this heaviness about me. It was light. I was joyful again. It was a miracle because I had been carrying that around since my son's death, and it was just, I was a different person. So I had my reconnection done, and I flew to Chicago to learn how to do it for other people, and I've been doing it ever since. That was almost 8 years ago.
Wonderful. Just you mentioned briefly about the drawings on the chakras. What is, or on the acupuncture points? Describe what a reconnection session is like.
Well, there are like over 100 drawings that are traced on your acupuncture points, and it finalizes. You have certain drawings done on the first day, which is only about 35, 40 minutes, and then you get a cycle of sleep that night and come back the next day. The drawings are retraced on you, and then you're sealed in the seals of Solomon. And what it does is it's like a new beginning, a new birth. You get this done once in a lifetime. After I had that done, it was a little bit of time after that, but I was told that I was going to write this book, Find Your Friggin' Joy. And I did not want to write a book. It was like the water. I was just stubborn, didn't want to heal from the water, didn't want to write, just wanted to play. And then I was told, you're going to write a book. And I went, okay, no problem. I just didn't fight it. It was just right there. I mean, it took three years. But it came out, it was like 12/21/12, the day the world was supposed to come to an end, my book came out. I love the timing, the synchronistic timing of things.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So now, that's what it does. It really will set you on your career path and get you to do things that maybe you weren't going to do before, and this just gives you that accelerated boost.
Well, I have a friend who lives in Santa Cruz, and I think the next time I go out to visit her, I'm going to look you up, and maybe we'll do this together.
Oh, my pleasure, my honor.
That sounds like it would be really fabulous. Now, how does this compare to Hawaiian Huna healing?
That's a good question. Hawaiian healing is self-directed. You do the forgiveness process with yourself. I teach four levels of Huna, and each one of those levels has to do with learning even some symbols that you can do in your own world or help you to get into spirit. But it's all done kind of for self-healing, whereas the reconnective healing, I do it to somebody else. I do the healing is separate from the reconnection, and someone is laying on my, massage table, and I'm actually helping them to raise their frequencies. Mm-hmm. There's no technique to the healing, because I just feel, find, and stretch the frequencies of that client, and they find where you're out of balance and then put you back into balance. It could be mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually.
What do you do to maintain alignment on a daily basis with your foundation?
Well, I live a mile from the beach and the ocean. So I take walks a lot along the beach, just communing with nature, with the rhythms of nature, feeding little animals outside, taking walks among the redwood trees. I think it's so important to do that daily.
Absolutely. What else do you do?
Well, I play Pokemon.
Pokemon Go?
Yeah. I bet you weren't ready for that one.
No. You see what happens? Do the self-forgiveness. When you heal yourself, guess what happens? You turn into a kid again. Because that's what I discovered. You know, I was 64 in January, and I feel like I'm 17 years old. I swear. It's unbelievable.
I have an 11-year-old grandson, and he taught me how to play Pokemon. Mm. And I thought, I'm never going to get into this. I'm 72. I just turned 72. And my boyfriend is 75, and he got into the Pokemon, too, and we do it together, and we play tennis. I love to play tennis, and I still rollerblade, so, you know, we just have fun. But the Pokemon is just really fun, and I'm at level 24 now.
What does that mean? I'm not familiar with it. What does level 24 mean?
That it means I needed 100,000 points to get to 24. There are points that you accrue, and you have different stops that you can find balls, and then these little people come in, and you hit them, and it's fun.
You know, it just dawned on me, and I didn't think of this before. I've been familiar with Pokemon and Pokemon Go, but these little characters that have been created to entertain are actually little spirits.
Could be, yes. They're very adorable in Pokemon Go.
They're manifestations of the kind and gentle spirits that we seek, and that when we're children we identify with, and we sort of lose that innocence and identification with these wonderful beings when we grow up. And to rediscover them in the golden years of life, what a wonderful thing.
Some of them are annoying because they don't get, you know, they will disappear before you can strike at them. You know, it has, I think, all kinds of things that have to do with life, disappointments and acceleration and, you know, happiness, and you don't get what you want. And so all of these things are incorporated in that game.
Absolutely. Now, you say in your book that asking yourself, what can I give the world, is the new normal. What does that mean?
Well, I just, wow, when I think of that again, what can I give of myself? How can I place myself in the world? I mean, I want to be the most positive example, you know, to show to the world, you know, that I'm contributing part to this, you know, whatever, I can't even explain it. I mean, there's a lot of darkness in the world. I don't even believe in darkness. It's where the light hasn't shone on that darkness. And I just want to be a beacon. You know, I want to be a good example for how it could be. And even the people who are the most depressed and down can smile, you know, can know that there's hope, that there's always hope. Even when you're down and out, there's a new beginning. If you can just pivot, and I like that word, pivot away from your problem and look at it a different way.
In many ways, it reminds me of the prayer of Saint Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful. Yeah, that says it all.
That says it all. It really says it all. Now, you mentioned in your book that you can rid yourself of many of the stress symptoms using the IO chant. Can you demonstrate that for us, please?
Oh, the EO chant.
Is that the EO?
Yeah, that's the EO chant. Yeah, it's, again, it puts you into the realm of creation, and it goes like this. EO. So if you do that chant with the thought of you're taking back all of your problems to a place of creation, let's say you're going into meditation and you're just breathing back all of your problems, all your stresses, as you exhale and come in, you say that chant, and it's almost like a cosmic eraser. It will erase that, you know, that stress, that frequency, that, you know, whatever darkness is there, and do it about 11 times. And it will get rid of whatever is ailing you.
That's wonderful. My guest, Melinda Farrell. She's the author of Find Your Friggin' Joy, Discover Missing Links from Ancient Hawaiian Teachings, Plaque of Your Soul, and Reach Your Higher Self. Melinda, please tell our listeners once again where they can get your book and find out more about you and this amazing work.
Well, thank you. My book, Find Your Friggin' Joy, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other booksellers, and on my website, Huna Healing, H-U-N-A, healing.com. It also has information on my dolphin trips and where I teach ancient Hawaiian healing. I teach it here in Santa Cruz and on the Big Island of Hawaii. And I would love to just be your tour guide.
Thank you so much for gracing our show tonight. This work is so wonderful, and your chat just sent me to another level of heaven tonight. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you all for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful night.